All right, you can turn your Bibles tonight anywhere you want. It's all good. Amen? But I don't have a text verse, but I'm going to use different passages of Scripture. And as I mentioned, I'm just going to talk tonight simply with a thought of decisions, decisions. And before I forget, I'm going to come back here and give this to Brother Cato. I don't want either one of us to forget, because I will. And I think there's 8 questions I want to ask and go with some Scripture. I'll try to be slow enough if you want to look there. I cheated. I copied and pasted them into my notes, so I won't have to turn to all of them, but I will pause and give you a little time if you want to quickly turn there. And I've got 8 questions here, just one passage of Scripture to go with each, so we wouldn't be too long, but I'm sure there's other Scriptures that may come to your mind, or you may want to take this and do a little study and maybe add Scripture references to go along with these questions. Every day we make decisions. Some decisions are small, others are major. And so I want to share with you 8 questions to consider for godly decision making. 8 questions to consider for godly decision making. Number 1, has God already spoken about it in His Word? Has God already spoken about it in His Word? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. The Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. And notice that phrase, for instruction in righteousness. Many times we have questions, and many times the answers are right there in God's Word. So we need to ask ourselves, has God already spoken about it in His Word? Number 2, would it bother me if everyone knew this was my choice? Would it bother me if everyone knew this was my choice? Proverbs 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Would it bother me if everyone knew this was my choice? Number 3, what if everyone followed my example? What if everyone followed my example? 1 Timothy 4:12. 1 Timothy 4:12. We've all heard and can hear in our ears our mom or dad are saying, if everyone else was doing it, would you be doing it too? If everyone else was jumping off the building, playing in traffic, would you? Don't ask boys that, because we probably would play in traffic and jump off the buildings, but you know where I'm going with that. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Again, what if everyone followed my example? Whether we realize it or not, there's probably someone in our life at one point or another that are watching and following our example. And so often, I heard it all the time as a boy growing up, because I was the oldest. Your brothers are watching you, son. Your sister's watching you. And we need to remember, as Christians, as mature Christians, not only is the world, but younger Christians are watching us. Number 4, am I being people pressured or spirit led? In my decision, am I being people pressured or spirit led? Galatians 1:10. Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. We can always go back to number 1. Has God already spoken about His Word? Being involved in the Word will help us in this aspect. Am I being people pressured or spirit led? Another common word that we use today is peer pressure. Are we allowing the peer pressure around us, what others are doing? Are we allowing the Spirit of God lead us into decisions that we make? Number 5, could this cause another person to stumble? Romans 4:21. Could this cause another person to stumble? Again, it gets back to not only setting the example, making decisions, but how people are watching us, whether it be our children, our grandchildren, or others. My wife has already gotten on to me a few times because my daughter has some rules in her home. And there's some things the girls are not allowed to do, and there's some things the girls aren't allowed to say. And I'm having to clean up some of my uses of adjectives not to say those words when the little girls are around, because they'll say, "Papa, we can't say that. That's a bad word." And I have to apologize and said, "Your mother has taught you well. Please forgive Papa." I'll tell you what that word is later. I'm on camera. it's not a bad word. But it's not a good word for to set example for our children. All right, could this cause another person to stumble? Romans 14:21. "It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak." Now, I'm going to pause here just for a moment and tell them myself. How often do we really think about what we're doing if we're with another person of another culture, another belief, a younger believer, and about what we're doing? And here this passage refers to those things that we eat, that which we drink, or anything whereby we make another brother to stumble or offended. Not even thinking, one day I invited my Jewish friend, who was a completed Jew, was in college with me. Him and his wife were opera singers professionally, got saved and went to Bible college. Boy, could she play the piano, could he sing. He sat down for lunch, and guess what I served him? Ham and cheese on a bagel. Some of y'all get that in a minute. And then he gave me a hard time. He laughed and he ate it. And he said, "Brother, I'm so glad I'm complete. But do you realize a few years ago, this would be very offensive to me?" And we laughed and he gave me a hard time. And every time he saw me after that, he teased me a little bit. Sometimes we just need to think a little bit and ask ourselves, this which I'm doing, decision I'm making, that which I'm saying, but could it cause another person to stumble? Tonight we're talking about choices. Number 6. Have I prayed and received peace about this decision? These are not necessarily any order. This is very important. Have I prayed and received peace about this decision? Philippians 4:6-7. Philippians 4:6-7. You know, we can pray about things without even knowing what they are. We're praying for 9 unspoken requests tonight. We have some decisions we'll make Sunday, and there's a reason why we haven't shared more information, but we'll share more information Sunday. We'll have a time of prayer before we make a decision, but even now you could be praying that God would give you wisdom and guidance, that you would make a godly decision, and that you would maybe even look over some of these guidelines I'm sharing with you or questions I'm sharing with you before Sunday night. Philippians 4:6-7. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Be careful for nothing. Let's make sure, again, that we pray about it. There's nothing too small to pray about. Nothing. Number 7. Will this keep me from growing in the character of Christ? Will this decision, will this activity, will this deed, will it keep me from growing in the character of Christ? 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Our desire is to be like Christ. We have an old saying down south, and maybe other parts of the world, but I used to hear saying phrases like, man, that young man has got God all over him. Basically, referring to their character, their sense, how they care themselves, how they talk. They know they have spent time with the Lord. We know the old commercial, when E.F. Hutton talks people. We want to have the type of relationship with the Lord that we draw so much from his character that when we talk, people want to listen. Because we are encouraging, even though sometimes it might be sharp, but it's in love and it's supported by Scripture. Number 8. Does this glorify God? 1 Corinthians 10:31. 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Again, does this glorify God? My choice, my decision, my speech, my activity is a glorifying to the Lord. I think there's so many times that we make decisions that sometimes that we just don't think or we take the time to even pray, no matter how big or how small. Though I am older, and though my wife likes to say I'm almost 60, I'm not quite there yet, I'm still in learning that the older I get, the smarter my father is. I still talk to my dad about things. I'm the preacher, but yet there's still some things common. My dad has a lot of common sense, and so I seek his guidance. And the same thing about with decisions we make. Decisions. Nothing wrong with bathing them in prayer. Any decision that has to be made now might be a decision that just doesn't need to be made, depending on the circumstance. But err on the side, does it glorify the Lord? Just a couple of more verses here, tidbits. I will not take the time to let you turn to all, but if you want to make note, just for the sake of time. But this is for all, how many fishermen do we have out here? Because there's another thing that we want to do when we have a problem, and I'm going to read this in a minute. Most fishermen know all about casting, but some take it very seriously. In 1881, the first casting championship took place in the outskirts of London. This event led to the founding of the International Casting Sport Federation. Never heard of it until I went to Europe. Today, the federation, located in Prague, Czech Republic, organizes championships all around the world for all ages. Casters are judged by distance and accuracy. Now, speaking of that, followers of Christ also know a lot about casting. This is why it's so important that we pray. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Proverbs 22:10, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Ecclesiastes 11:1, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Ezekiel 8:31, cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you have been transgressed. Jesus said in John 21:6, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Paul said in Romans 13:12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Peter says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Even asking these 8 questions, and we're still not quite sure, cast your cares upon him. Time, prayer, patience. And the Apostle John, also a fisherman, in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Isn't it wonderful to know that we can cast all of our cares, all of our concerns, all of our fears, all of our worries upon him, and even in our decision making, when we have doubts, we can cast those upon him and be patient and wait on him. We're just like, as adults, we're just like kids. Tell me if you don't agree with this statement. Your children ask a question, and mom or dad says, I'll think about it. Or wait. Now, my girls clung on to that with hope because it meant it wasn't a no. But my son just had to have an answer. And sometimes we're the same way. Instead of casting our burdens on him and waiting, we want it. Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. That's not the approach. We cast our cares upon him. We wait upon him. Ask these 8 questions in our decision making. And maybe there's times he might even answer the question before we get through the 8th question. He may answer. But sometimes it takes time. All right, it is about 10 minutes till 8. I got a few things I want to share with you tonight in reference to our church and some other things coming up. And one is about missions. If you would like to be involved in some aspect in missions, be more involved, it'd be wonderful that people that would like to not only read the prayer letters, but maybe on occasion write some of our missionaries. I could use some help right now. A lot of it's on the website. The more you can help me with admin, the more shepherding and studying and visiting I can do. So of our 32 missionaries, I believe it is, we need a letter sent out to them with an intro of your new pastor. Maybe what's on the back of the bulletin, just give an idea. We have a new pastor providing a new email address, mine, for the church, and that is harvestbcpastor@gmail.com. Is it in the bulletin, Brother Cena, my email address for the church? The church one, that's what I would want the missionaries to use, the church one. And then ask, you know, find out from them, let them know. We like to hear from them quarterly. We send them support check every month. We like to at least get a letter quarterly. I'm surprised, as being a former missionary, I'm surprised of the churches I've helped in the past before coming your pastor, where missionaries write once or twice a year. I think they need to communicate. I'm not saying that I want to drop missionaries, but what I'm saying is that they don't want to communicate with us. Maybe we need to remind them, if they want continued support, prayer, and financially, they need to communicate with us. Yes, sir. Okay, so we need to make sure they are understanding that they need to communicate with us. I like to have their church information. Some of the letters I read, it doesn't even tell where they're a member of their church. I like to know what member, you know, who's their sending church, who's their mission board, or who their sending agency is. And then, of course, maybe getting together like an email database. If we have on the two line all the emails for the missionary, we can on occasion send a bulk email out with just one email and sending 32 separate emails. And that's a simple filling in and then copying and pasting. But if you'd like to be involved in some aspect and help in that area, please let me know. But we need to get out a letter to all our missionaries, letting them know the new pastor, my email address, and my contact information. And then also our desire to hear from them on a quarterly basis at a minimum. And then of course, the other information about their mission board or their sending agency in their home church. Second one, is there anyone here that enjoys, has extra time? And you would say, well, preacher, I would love to have your outline in advance, just the skeletons, and prepare the PowerPoint for Sunday. If you would like to do that, I would like to do that, because as you know, sometimes I get a little wound up and I talk a little fast. But for those that are hearing impaired, or even if we have families that come in where English is not their heart language, it's not their primary, if they could see it and see the scripture, it will help them also to follow along and maybe even have a desire to stay here, even though English may not be their primary, they're still getting fed. So if you think you would like to do that, that would free up, again, some time for me. I would get it to you hopefully early enough where you have plenty of time to do the PowerPoint. Just let me know, and I'd be happy to get that information to you. Also, I'd like to put together a letter packet for each visitor that comes in. So we need to develop a packet when visitors come in. It's lovely to have a family visiting with us tonight. We're so glad you're here. And I trust you've been able to go by and shake their hand and talk with them. And please forgive me. I'm trying to remember. It's Mike and Agnes. All right. And I didn't get the last name, but I got the first name, and you live in Buckeye. All right. So let's make sure, if you haven't talked to them, that you do this or you're home tonight. We'd like to put something together. We can put something in the hands when visitors come in. It's something about our church. And, of course, get names and addresses. New member sponsors. This is kind of from my military days. I think it'd be wonderful if we had a few families say, hey, preacher, we have a new family come in. From the time they arrive to the time of membership, you know, I'll befriend them. I'll even invite them out at lunch on my dime to minister to them, invite them to lunch, get to know them. Once they become members, help them get acquainted with the church family, kind of adopt them in some aspect. And we need several couples to be involved in that. If you think you'd like to be involved in some aspect of that, please let me know. These are not in any necessary order of importance. They're all important. Altar workers, baptismal workers. You know, I'd like leading the invitation the way I do it with some time. And I want Marlene and Rick to come up to the front anyway, because there may be times where I'm leading the music and Michelle, you know, she can be sinful. She may hit the altar instead of the piano. So I would need Marlene to step up and play the piano. Or there may be some other people that come. Somebody might just grab Michelle on their way in. Don't want to come to the altar. We need somebody there to play. Somebody may need me to come down and pray with them. Rick could step up and continue with the invitation. Also need those ladies and men to help with baptism, making sure to remind those getting baptized to bring your own towel, clothes, whatever it may be. in those cases are, but also people working at the altar, because we can't do it all when Brother Stone can't do it all, but those who are willing to help, we could have a rotating basis where you would just move forward in the invitation. Don't misunderstand me. I don't think this is anything wrong or psychological, but if you want to work in being an altar, working at the altar, I think it's a good idea. We'll do a rotating thing like with ushers, and when the invitation starts, you come and just come from where, find a place real quick and just pray. Ask the Lord to bring people who need to be saved, need to get right. Ask the Lord to help you, and then come sit in one of the front rows and wait to see if you're needed. Sometimes people need to see someone move first so that they can move. Sometimes we need to come to an altar is not just for sinners. It's a plus, also a place to thank God for the message, to thank God for a place we have to worship. And so this should be a very comfortable place. And speaking of which, this is not on my list. I need to write it down. Hey, I'm on time. I would like to see something different done with this platform. We're losing a lot of space with this rounding. I think we might need to keep it for weddings and things, but whether the old platform or whether it can be straight across, you know, I'm not quite sure what we can do. You carpenters be thinking about it, but it would give us a little more room here at the altar, not so crowded here in the front row, and we can put this in storage or whatever we need. If we need it for other occasions, then we can also put our communion table up here. Those steps weren't there, and some of these steps could be me, but sometimes when I step on them, they don't seem even. But so let's be thinking, you carpenters be thinking about that. That's also free, wasn't on my list, so I'll add it right now. All right, let's see what else. Altar workers, children's church workers. I think this is more important than Sunday school. We want to add Sunday school back soon. But I do know we're starting to get some families in. We see some little ones. People bring their grandchildren. If you would like to be involved in children's ministry, it'd be wonderful if we could have four or five families, couples, adults that we could rotate where you wouldn't necessarily have to do it every month unless the Lord, you feel the Lord to have you to do it as your ministry all the time. But if you think you'd like to be involved and said, I'm not sure if I can do it every Sunday, but I'll do one Sunday a month, then all we would need is four or five couples or eight adults, however we work that out, because we need to have twos together. And then that way we'd have something for children's ministry back there during the church service. You would not have them the whole time. We might restructure this order of service, but I think it's important for the children to be in here. So for some of the song service, it's important for them to be here during the offering. It's an act of worship. And sometime after the offering and later in the service, maybe I'll change something where I read the scripture. Before I read the scripture, I come to read the scripture and that the kids are dismissed or something, and they would go out with the children's workers. So you would only have the kids about 30 minutes or so. Unless I get long-winded, it'll be a little longer. But typically around about 30 minutes, and that way the kids are still in part of the service. I think it's important for them to learn to sit still. I think it's important for them to learn to sing and be around others as they worship and only go out for the lesson. But they can have their own songs as well. I would have no problem hearing those kids sing out there and me have to preach over them. I have no problem with that. I would enjoy that. But they also should enjoy being with us in the main service as well. All right, let's see what else. I know I got a lot of things here. Hoping you're finding something that you can volunteer for. And then eventually, of course, Sunday school teachers. Be nice if we can add it somewhere around Easter or even Easter Sunday. It'd be wonderful. Children's church workers, it'd be great if we could start next week or the week after, but that would be a wonderful thing. But we also need Sunday school teachers in place because we need to find out what curriculum we have and see if we need to order stuff. So we need to get those things in line because we can't start until we have the material that's needed. Choir members and special music. If I had my way, we'd have choir Sunday morning and Sunday night. We'd have special music Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. So I know some of you may not be able to be at choir practice all the time. Sometimes it may be your work schedule. But if you're faithful and you're in church regularly, but maybe can't make a choir practice some of the time or most of the time because of your work schedule, but you come in late Sunday or you make it for service, I see no reason why you can't be on a rotating thing and singing special music. I'd like to see people more involved in singing special music, more people involved in a choir. I want to talk about something down the road and working and getting some of our snowbirds involved more. There's no reason why you can't have a ministry. Now, this is just me. I don't want to offend anyone. I'll say it on a Sunday morning as well. When I was on staff at Church of Florida, we had snowbirds galore. Most of them, I don't know why, were from Ohio. But when they came all about the same time. We did not send letters back and forth. But what they did, They come in, and a whole bunch of them would come forward on the Sunday morning after the service, say, "Preacher, we're here. We want to put our stewardship and our membership here until we go back for the winter." And they just did it by statement. Their pastor knew what they were going to do. When they left, we knew what they were going to do on that end. And we didn't necessarily have to request a letter or send a letter. Each pastor knew that's what they were doing as snowbirds. And that way they could still be involved in serving and part of the church while they're here and not make it a difficult thing in requesting and sending letters. We can just do it by statement, but really want to encourage our snowbirds to be involved as much as they want to. I want to work on some Easter flyers. I want to look into some companies. It's not cheap. I hope they find better companies. But about 36 cents per postcard, about this size, we can put in 5,000 homes or more in our community by zip code. But at 36 cents per, that includes the printing, the writing, front and back, and delivering to the door. But that would run about $1,800 for 5,000. Now, whether we can find another company that will give a better rate for a higher amount, be thinking about that and praying about that. But I think that would be a good investment in advertisement to do at least twice a year, if not before Easter. Then again, maybe later toward the end in the fall, at the end of summer before school starts. And that's spending a little money, but I think it's great advertisement. For a few hundred dollars more, they also send it out through as an advertisement on Facebook. So just some things to look at for you to think about. But I think that would be a very good investment. And we're still looking at outreach programs, companies that do this, that we might find a better price. So far, 36 cents per, included printing front and back, and included delivery. And then let's see, greeters, inside and out. What I know right now, Miss Bonnie does it pretty regular. There's nothing wrong with that. But one of the times she's not here, having somebody ready to join her there or to fill in for her where she's gone. Maybe some of us guys, some of the guys outside, when the weather starts getting hot, these big umbrellas that you can escort some of the folks in out of the heat or out of the rain, or maybe even offer to park their car. Because I'm going to be asking you as the church grows not to park here. I'm going to be asking you to park back in the back where Brother Stone always parks, or over here on the side parking lot, so we make sure. Two reasons why visitors leave a church. They drive in, can't find a place to park, or they can't find a place close to the door. So we're more than happy to help. And guys, that means we need to be in the parking lot. Let's over in front of the fellowship hall, under the awning, or over here somewhere else in the parking lot, but not on the sidewalk walking in. Especially when we start talking about politics and conspiracy theories, we don't want to run off our visitors. So make sure we carry that conversation down by the fellowship hall or out in the parking lot. But we want to greet people as they come in. If they need help parking their car, they need help in any shape, form, or fashion, wave them down, offer to help them either parking their car or with an umbrella escorting them in. So we need people, men, willing to volunteer to do that. Let's see. And then, of course, we'll be coming up in the coming weeks, we'll be talking about deacons and trustees and electing some deacons. They'll fill in for the rest of the year. I'm going to ask Brother Ed to stay on. I've asked Brother Ken and Brother Darrell to consider coming back on for the rest of the year and then give me time to look at establishing deacons in the new year. And I want to establish a program called DITS, D-I-T-S, and that's Deacons in Training. Young men, other men in the church that may be qualified but have little experience. Bible says lay hands suddenly on no man. They would come alongside other deacons to learn. They would come to deacons' meeting. They wouldn't have a vote, but they would be there to listen, to observe, and to learn. And then when pastor and the other deacons feel that they are ready, they've demonstrated some leadership, answered the right questions, are ready to be recognized or ordained as deacons, then we can bring those men, younger men, young men on during that training, after that training process. And then, one last thing. I like fellowship, and I like food. Right now, I'm kind of on a low to no sugar, gluten-free diet, but Michelle makes an amazing cheesecake that's gluten-free and sugar-free. But I'm still going to eat when we have things. I said all that to say this. I would like us to start up and see how y'all feel about having what we used to call afterglows on Sundays periodically, was once a month or once every 5 weeks, where we have an afterglow. Maybe that night we won't have choir practice, and we'll meet in the fellowship hall at 5 o'clock for a meal and fellowship, and either we'll move over here or we'll stay in the fellowship hall. When we outgrow the fellowship hall, we'll move over here. and have a time of fellowship. The doors will still need to be unlocked, so we'll have bathrooms at both places. How do y'all feel about having a monthly fellowship of food, fellowship, things like that? Amen. All right, we'll get something on the schedule here soon. When we outgrow the fellowship hall, we'll just come over here after the fact. And so let me encourage you. I should have made copies, but hopefully something caught your ear. You wrote it down. You'll come and talk to me about it. I'll announce some of these again. Might even put some of them in the bulletin if we can squeeze in some room. Eventually, we might have to go to a bigger bulletin, but we'll see. That's not a problem at all.